Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 27 of Mac and Cheese.
It's been a rather long absence as we were both sort of out and doing things around during the Christmas holidays. But here we are back in action, Mac Mail. And I am Graham Hicks. And today we're going to talk about, spurred by the fact that the executive director, or whatever his name was, Richard
Anderson,
rather suddenly resigned from the Northlands. Running the Northlands Park complex.
Well, Northlands, period, right?
Yeah, the whole works.
Yeah.
And maybe we should, you know, a lot of people sort of know about Northlands, but they're not quite sure what the whole thing is about. So to start off with, folks, Northlands is probably the biggest nonprofit organization in the city. Budget or revenues of $117 million in 2012. And that's when you go to see if you go to see a concert in Rexall Place, you're in a building that's run by Northlands. If you go to a hockey game, building run by Northlands. If you go to the races, I don't know if anybody does anymore, but the horse races. If you go to the exhibition, you're going on Northlands territory. If you go to a concert or a convention in the Expo Center up on that property, you're in Northlands territory. If you go to the rodeo, et cetera, they do an awful lot. But yours and my big question we have today is, again, most of you will know the history of Rexall Place as our main arena versus the new arena, which is now being built. The biggest problem Northlands faces as a nonprofit organization, it's still expected, despite $21 million in grants from various levels of governments, it's still expected to break even. It's a not-profit organization.
Right.
Rexall Place right now is a real the main profit center for them. They walk out of there with, you know, $4 to $4.5 million a year net. Crucial overall to their staying on the right side of the ledger, right? Once the new arena gets built, I think they're in deep doo-doo. And a lot of other people privately agree. They're going to have this white elephant. They're talking brave words about repurposing the building or repurposing the whole place. But think about it, Mac. You got exposition's getting a little tired. I don't know how much money that's making anymore. Expo Center's fine. It made 2.5 net. But they're still paying a $2 million a year mortgage on that thing for 40 years.
Yep.
Horse racing is down the dumper. I don't care what anybody says.
It keeps heavily dropping subsidized. Every year.
Yeah. It's an old boys club that somehow seems to get money from this government, and it's really confuses me why that goes on. And Rexall Place. You lose Rexall Place, what are they going to do in order to stay afloat?
And to remain relevant to most people, because, you know, in the things that you listed, the probably the one area that most people would know Northlands for is either K-Days, which, as you said, is a bit tired, or Rexall Place, right? And if they're not doing that, what are they doing? And I think this is a really interesting time for this all to happen, because I don't get the sense that Richard Anderson left voluntarily. I get the sense that there's some internal turmoil going on in Northlands, and we're going to see other changes in the months ahead as well. But it's interesting because they're, I think, trying to figure out what they want to be. Like, what are they going to do at the same time as they're potentially losing, as you say, one of their key assets? Because I don't think, and I think a lot of other people would agree, that we probably can't support two major concert venues in Edmonton, right? Do you agree with that? Do you think we could have both?
Yes, I would agree. I think that Anderson may or may not have been pushed, but his duration was very short, 3 years. I also suspect the other scenario is he looked at the whole thing and said, Jesus, I don't want to wear the horns in this thing. I'm getting out before the growing gets really rough.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe he was pushed and said, okay, fine, that's fine by me kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I think is interesting is that I'd heard, this is a bit of hearsay, I suppose, that he'd brought in a lot of folks from where he came from in San Diego. So he brought a lot of staff, operations staff, and management staff.
There could have been some culture clashes. He was also...
happens to those people as well, right?
I guess they'd all be going, probably.
Maybe.
You have to think.
Yeah.
Who knows? But also, he was sent in as well to really cut down staff. And he had to be a tough operator. I think there was not a lot of happiness around the place. But to get back to your point about Rexall Place, what are they going to do with the thing? You know, they can try to repurpose it. There's talk about you could do small concerts there. At least that building's paid for. They could be more efficient. But the city's got a vested interest in both.
Right.
You know, so that's going to be very interesting. And B, supposing Rexall, Northlands also has the right, they could just say to the city, it's yours. Take it back.
Yeah.
We don't want it anymore.
And that is a liability for the city, right?
What do you do with it?
And
As a friend of mine pointed out, you got three options. You can demolish it, but that's a $25 million ticket. That's a big thing to take down.
Yeah.
Right? You can just let it sit. You can kick that can down the road for 30 years until the building's getting so bad that eventually you have to tear it down. But it could just sit there. I mean, it'd be an eyesore, but... And thirdly, you could try to find somebody else to operate it, but then you'd probably have to do, like the Oilers and the arena downtown, you'd probably have to subsidize it up to Ying Yang in order for it to work.
What about a fourth option, just selling the building and the property it's on and letting somebody do something with it?
I think you'd have to pay somebody a lot of money to take it off your hands. I think you'd be talking $10, $15, $20 million to take it off your hands. And there's not a glaringly important new use for that building or new use for that land. You know, it's not...
Condos, Graham, condos.
Yeah. Of which we seem to have rather a lot right now.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, that's really interesting about, you know, the vested interest in both, really. And the mm-hmm. city doesn't want to see them compete. I mean, you always hear, or we have heard a lot throughout the arena debate, that things like CFR can't happen in the new arena for whatever reason. I don't really understand. So that kind of thing would continue happening at Rexall, but that's not enough to keep the whole building going, right?
There was a suggestion from another fellow who's quite close to it all, saying if you could replace 10% of those Oilers and Oil King dates, you might be able to make it work. But even at that, you might break even.
Yeah.
You're going to lose that $4 to $5 million profit, which is subsidizing the rest of Northlands, which is well and good because it's a not-for-profit society. But again, the even bigger problem, what if Northland's board, after much deliberation, says, we've been here 100 years, the economics have changed so drastically, what we do seems to be no longer relevant. Bye, city, it's yours. Which might be a whole new interesting thing as well. I mean,
yeah.
You suddenly get, on the bright side, you suddenly get a whole pile of land close to downtown that could be used for who knows what.
But then, but like, what you do? Say, the expense of tearing it down or doing something with it, though, right? Still there. That doesn't go away.
And also, we still have the rodeo, which is a huge... It is still an economic driver for the city. The agricultural side is kind of important. You know, I don't... You know, if I was on their board, on the one hand, I'd be totally intrigued as to what's going to happen. The other is saying, there's going to be way too much heavy lifting going on here, and the politics are going to be fierce all over the place.
Well, they've had some changes with their board too, right? Because Northlands historically had this, or for a long time had this giant board, and now they've kind of split it into a board of governors and a board of directors. So they're a bit leaner, I think, now in terms of the board of directors. So that's an interesting change. But do you think they'll...
It's still top heavy.
It is a bit top heavy. Do you think they'll try to get back to their roots, though? I mean, it was started as an agricultural organization. I think that's kind of their excuse for having horses. It's like sort of agriculture, but it's not.
Agriculture today is a very, very different beast than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, you wrote about this not long ago, actually, right?
Yeah,
back in November.
We're in huge corporations farming now. Do they need this kind of infrastructure within the city? It's a wonderful thing for attracting rural people to come in for the rodeo.
Right.
That's 2 weeks of the year, one
right.
week.
Yeah.
What about the other 51?
Yeah. Can Northlands play a role, do you think, in agriculture in Edmonton anyway? Like, I love that you put the stats in your article, and one of them is, I didn't know this, the highest cattle population density in Canada is within 300-kilometer radius of Edmonton. And I just think back to that amazing photo from CFR a few years ago where they had cattle parading through downtown in front of the very modern Art Gallery of Alberta, and it was just such a striking image. But it kind of seems like that was where Northlands came from. It brought the rural folks to the town at that time to sell products, I guess, and improve the work that they were doing. But that doesn't really seem to have a place now, right?
We're not really an agrarian society
anymore. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting stat, but it's a tiny fraction of what Edmonton is about, right?
Yeah, and we do have a sort of a hidden agricultural industry. I mean, it still accounts for about 5 to 6% of our gross domestic product. But the problem is the poor industry, which would be more important in other provinces, is so dwarfed by the giant called energy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what you do. It's almost like the whole thing is outdated. The whole thing is, it was such a valuable function. It still is I mean, it's essentially the people there are there for the good of their hearts. You got 1,400 volunteers. It's a close-knit society of friends and people who have given an awful lot of their volunteer life to this thing. But it's now becoming more and more irrelevant. And then once Rexall Place goes, you've really only got Expo Center and not too much else.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me that Northlands wants to be the sports and entertainment destination. That's what they say in all their marketing and in their annual report and stuff like that. But if Rexall Place goes, then are they really the sports and entertainment destination? Like, isn't that what the new arena is going to be about, you know, sports and entertainment? And if that's the case, then what's left at Northlands? I think it's nostalgic and historical, and people don't want to see it go away because it's been here for 130 years or whatever it is, right? But maybe it's time.
You know, I hate to say this because it sounds kind of snotty in its own way, but if you look at that board, it's still, the board of governors are all old white guys.
A lot of them.
Yeah, there's nobody else on the board of governors. The other side is getting a bit of a mix, but it's not very representational of the new Edmonton. I don't think you'd have a whole pile of people in Make Something Edmonton or in Tech Edmonton or in Startup Edmonton that would be very interested in Northlands. Maybe the time has come to do a complete reinvention, a rethink of the whole thing. Now, this would test Don Iveson's political skills to the top of visibility.
Yeah.
But could somehow the thing be re-imaged? Could there be something along the lines of the airport redevelopment? Is it time?
Well, I think about the different components, and I don't know what happens to the horse racing. I mean, I don't know what the future of that is, but
I think it's going to die eventually.
Yeah,
and especially when another government comes in that'll say, we're not prepared to spend more money subsidizing horse racing than we are in the entire arts scene of Alberta.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, somebody could make that argument, and yeah. I don't think there'd be too much pushback. I mean, if the sports and stuff goes to the new arena, then you've got the Expo Center, and, you know, I've been thinking a lot about EEDC lately and how they're refocusing on economic development. It seems to me the odd child out there is the Shaw Conference Center to a degree. Maybe there's some other entity that looks after both, you know, the Expo Center and the Shaw because they're in the same business. They shouldn't be competing.
I can almost predict that would be one of the outcomes.
That seems
logical,
right?
One authority to write, but to run both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you should be coordinating.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that they compete with one another for businesses that's going to impact or positively benefit all of us, right?
Exactly.
And then what's left at Northlands?
What about K-Days?
Should it stay there? Should the arena people look after it?
You know, K-Days, I think we all sort of collectively roll our eyes. But the dang place still seems to attract...
But it could be its own thing, right?
People.
It could be its own thing. Just like the Fringe is its own thing, some other nonprofit could run just K-Days, and that could be the only thing they do, right? That could be separate from, you know, the other pieces.
You're going to be advising Mr. Iveson, are you?
Well, we have it easy, right, you and I, because we can sit here and rearrange all the puzzle pieces of the city, but he and others have to do the hard, you know, political work.
We're the commentators. Our job is just to mouth off and no action required.
Well, maybe to give them an idea that they can act on.
Let's
put it that way.
There you go. It's still going to be a dog's breakfast. It's going to be a long and lengthy process, but let's hope something emerges out of it. We still have got, Northlands Park itself is still a very fine organization that does need to reinvent itself. The question is, will they have the nimbleness and the youth and the energy to do a good job at it?
Now, I think, like you said earlier, a lot of really great people that work at Northlands, they care about the city, they care about Northlands, maybe just lacking a sense of direction.
It's going to get mad, but when your average age is 60, you know, you might have to turn the whole thing over to a much younger group.
I mean, I think they have made some changes, though, right? I know a bunch of young folks who now work at Northlands who weren't there before, but...
As volunteers?
No, as employees as well.
But as volunteers.
Okay, so volunteers is there. Yeah, you're right. They have like 1,400 volunteers, right?
I'll probably catch lots of heck for saying all that. Oh, well.
We can edit it out later, Graham.
We wish them luck.
And hopefully something good comes of it. And I suppose we'll probably be talking in a future episode about what's going to happen with, what is it, Rogers Place and Rexall Place and the competition that could come there. But for now, it's the 26th top venue in the world, which is pretty impressive for the size of Edmonton.
But once the new arena is built, it's going to be about 250th.
You never know.
So that about sums it up. I didn't bring any cheese because it's been such a hiatus and we all got fat over the Christmas holidays.
So don't need any more calories.
It's a self-imposed diet.
Sounds good.
But next time.
All right. Check us out at macandcheese.ca. I'm Mac Mail.
Graham Hicks. Until the next time.